There are two passages that I'm reading from this morning, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. The first one in the Old Testament is Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 9. I think that's on page 13 of the Church Bible. And it's about the call of Abraham. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negro. The second reading is in Acts chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. And that's, I think, on page 1105 of the Church Bible. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judah heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them?" Peter began and explained everything to them, precisely as it happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance to life." We often hear it said, don't we, in life, there are three things which we can be certain of. We will pay taxes. Things will change. And one day we will die. All these things are mentioned in the Bible, which is no surprise, really, when we consider that all are and have been a feature of human life since time began. The Bible deals with all these issues because the writers knew that they would be part of our lives until Jesus returns in glory. We are all familiar with the story in Luke chapter 20, when the teachers of the law tried to trap Jesus by asking him, "Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus replied, "Show me a denarius whose portrait and inscription are on it." "Caesar's," they replied. Jesus said to them, "Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." On the subject of preparing for death, the Bible gives clear and precise instructions for us to follow. No one who follows Jesus should forget the promise contained in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I am not, nor will I ever be, a great Christian scholar. But this I know and believe. This promise will sustain me through life, through death, and into his glorious presence. I suppose by now you're thinking, where is he going with this? And why did I read those two passages of scripture? One from the Old Testament and one from the New. This morning, I want to focus a little on the third fact of life, which I mentioned, which is change. One Christian writer said this: "Change and innovation are components of both biological and spiritual growth. Without change, growth is impossible." Worksop Christian Centre is a live church. If we believe this, we are also an evolving church, and as such, we should not be surprised when the pace of change increases. Personally, I find change to be very challenging. As Sue Shepherd well knows, I am strictly a meat and two veg type of guy, and question when given anything else to eat, "Is this proper food?" In Genesis, the change that Adam experienced was about a change of location. Adam learned that it was impossible for him to stay where he was and go with God at the same time. The two were irrevocably linked. We can imagine that Abraham's family and friends would have questioned his sanity. After all, he was 75 years old. But to Abraham, there was no choice to make. He trusted God, and nothing else mattered. In Acts chapter 11, we read about how Peter had to change his attitude concerning the Gentiles. Surely the Holy Spirit was reserved for circumcised Jews only, but God, through a vision, turned Peter's perception on its head. Gentiles, as well as Jews, could receive the Holy Spirit. We are told that the apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. What's more, if this wasn't bad enough, they even accused Peter of entering the house of uncircumcised men and eating with them. Peter had to give an account of his actions. So he told them about the vision he had experienced. Jews were taught very strict rules about what they could and could not eat. But God showed Peter a picture of all kinds of creatures which he was brought up never to eat. He even questioned God by implying that this time, God, you've got it wrong. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But God rebuked Peter 3 times. Something about 3 for Peter, isn't there? And his attitude concerning the Gentiles was changed. After Peter had told the apostles and the brothers about his vision, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." I love that word in there, even. This change of attitude by Peter and the others meant that if the Gentiles could receive eternal life, then it was available to all, regardless of their race, creed, or indeed their past life. And from that moment on, the gospel could be preached universally. No one is beyond salvation. Both Abraham and Peter experienced massive changes in their lives through God's intervention. But they both trusted God and received blessing. So why is this relevant to Worksop Christian Centre? Well, as I said earlier, we are an evolving church, which means that we are a growing church. We can look back with grateful hearts to when Kevin planted the church in 2002. It is now 2018. Although we have seen many changes, we still praise God for his blessings to us every single day. We give thanks for all the years that Florin has served so faithfully and continues to feed and sustain us by preaching the word most Sundays. Thank you, Florin. We are now asking God to send us another, to lead us in new challenges as we continue the work of building his kingdom here in Worksop. The Bible makes very clear that everything has a season and change will come about. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 it says, "There is a season for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." If you'd like to read that in your quiet time, you'll see it lists a whole load of changes, really leaves nothing out. Further on in chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, we are advised to stand in awe of God. From the word awe, we get the word awesome, which the Oxford Dictionary describes or explains as something very impressive or daunting. Something very impressive or daunting. If you read the newspapers or watch television, there is no doubt that biblical truth is being increasingly ignored in this country. And the Christian church is under much more pressure than it has been for hundreds of years. I really do believe that whether we get a new pastor quickly or if God makes us wait longer for a new leader, we must prepare for change. God has been preparing us for kingdom work since even Kevin had the idea to plant a church here at Worksop. God is at work in this place. He started a wonderful work here, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. I do not know what changes we will experience, but this I do know. There are thousands of people on our doorstep who need to meet Jesus. Can we persuade them to come to church on Sunday mornings? or should we go out and meet them? If so, how can we do that? So many questions, so few answers. One of the advertisements for a new leader for our church says, "The harvest is ripe, the workers are ready, but we need a pastor who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way." If God sends us such a man, then changes in the way we do church will follow. Am I willing? Are you willing to stand in awe of God and be ready for change? Amen.